Before a symptom appears in the body, it exists as a pattern in the field. Every thought carries frequency. Every emotion has a charge. Every repeated internal story becomes a vibrational signature, and your body organizes itself around this signature. This isn't metaphor, this is resonance. The body is basically downstream from the field. Today on Ask Dr. Gill, I want to talk about the biology of belief and how your biography becomes your biology. So stay tuned. Hello and welcome to Ask Dr. Gill. I am your host, Dr. Gill Winkelman, and we have been exploring on this podcast vibrational and energy medicine. And I want to give another talk about how our bodies are really a culmination of something that is happening before. And it, you know, we think of ourselves as sort of evolving, and we are. But we're kind of from a physical standpoint, we're at the end stage of that evolution. The human organism is an electrical field. And it's important to recognize that the field around us emits an electromagnetic frequency. Our heart has a measurable electromagnetic frequency that is gigantic. And it's actually much bigger than the brain. In fact, what's interesting is there are more nerves going from the heart to the brain than there are from the brain to the heart. In other words, the heart is telling the brain what to do. That's the new theory in terms of how our bodies work, how our heart-body-brain works. So the brain runs on these oscillatory patterns, and cells will then communicate with current signals and currents. And we've talked a little bit how the mitochondria do that. The body isn't solid first. It's vibrational first. And this is why biography, especially emotionally charged events, imprint the field. And that affects our physiology. Now, over time, untruths, I'll put it as that term, and I'll explain that in a minute. Untruths create distortions which dysregulate us. Often it dysregulates us emotionally, right, or psychically. That can become inflammation, and over time that becomes the diagnosis. So it's important to recognize this, because if we don't recognize this, we might be chasing our tails. And I can tell you that professionally, I am seeing more of that clinically, where I'm getting more and more people who try different things and they're not able to have the experience of healing that we might have seen 10, 15 years ago. And so this is why I'm harping on this. This is why I'm talking about this and starting to do workshops around this, is that what I'm seeing is as we shift these patterns, people are healing. And that's a really cool thing. So now, emotional charge can get stuck, it can become stuck energy in a sense. And it's not, how do I want to say this? An experience that isn't necessarily processed doesn't disappear. It doesn't necessarily go away. You know, and I'll give you an example. If you're driving on the freeway and someone cuts you off and you get really, really mad and don't process that, it's not that it dissipates necessarily. It freezes. It becomes solidified in your system. So, for example, you know, anger that can't be expressed, grief that can't be felt, fear that doesn't have resolution, all of this frozen energy becomes constrictive, rigid, leads to hypervigilance and potentially collapse, I mean, over a long term. You might say trauma isn't what's happened. It's the energy that never finished moving. And that unfinished movement becomes a frequency that your body then continues to broadcast. And I think it's really important that beliefs, it's important to understand that beliefs might be frequency stabilizers. And some of these beliefs are helpful. You know, I mean, it's like saying, well, I'm a creative person. That's a helpful belief. Other beliefs aren't helpful. Now, all beliefs are organizing principles in the field for, you know, but not all of them are helpful. I'm alone. That's a contraction frequency. I must control everything. That can create tightness in the system and a rigidity. I am powerless can cause collapse and drain. And, you know, if you think one of these beliefs once or twice, it's not going to have a big effect. But when it becomes repeated over years, it becomes draining in the energetic system. And it's not that it's a punishment. It's that the field is seeking coherence, and the beliefs create and give that coherence, even if the coherence is a dysfunctional pattern. So it's really important to understand that your identity isn't just psychological, it's energetic. And, you know, there's different ways that we often organize our identity that then can become pathology. The challenge is how do we move through the world in these situations without kind of blowing everything up, right? Because when you shift your identity quickly, that's going to change a lot of things in your life. And I'll give you an example. So if someone has organized their identity around being the strong one, that they have to rescue, that they're a victim, that they're the sick one, the nervous system will resist shifts that threaten the structure. And sometimes symptoms show up because it's helping hold the identity in place. And if you remove the symptom too quickly, the architecture will destabilize. And this is why I think sometimes people unconsciously maintain situations, whether it's illness, you know, bad relationships, bad staying in a bad job, whatever it is, it becomes an energetic self-preservation. And what's interesting is that as I kind of have been moving through this work and looking at it, it's almost as if we need to control unconsciously, we need to control the rate of change. That if we change too quickly, it becomes uncomfortable. And that's true whether it's ourselves. You know, I mean, think about it this way. If you go to the gym every day to build muscle, that will become painful. You will be sore. By the way, it's good to take days off in between. But I'm saying if you didn't, it would be a very uncomfortable state, even though you would build muscle very quickly. It's kind of like that, right? It's just that. It might be that getting a new job would be really good, and, you know, or a new relationship or moving or whatever it is that you're doing will be really, really good for you. It's just that it's letting go of the idea and moving into that becomes challenging for people. So the last thing I want to say in terms of this before we take a break is that the field will precede the chemistry. So this is what's really interesting. You can measure, you know, cortisol, you can measure cytokines, you can measure methylation indirectly, but it's still, all of this is following something else, right? And I may do a podcast on this by itself, which is around pyral disorder. And I bring that in because pyral disorder is often inherited it runs in lineages where there's been trauma. So, you know, for example, Holocaust survivors, we tend to see more pyral disorder. Now, it's not everybody. Just because you're in that group doesn't mean that you have pyral disorder. But there seems to be an energetic signature related to the trauma in the collective that moves through to some individuals. And we don't know why that happens, by the way. But it's like the inflammatory state is coming from the energetic field. So think about it in terms of like the energetic state creates the nervous system patterns. It creates the emotional signaling patterns, the hormonal patterns. All of this comes from that energetic state. And by the way, this is where lens therapy is really, really helpful, because I think it softens the oscillations and changes the frequencies in the body. And it's really interesting. I in some ways think of lens neurofeedback more as an energy medicine than a more of a directive medicine, because it's subtle and it's allowing the brain to make adjustments on its own. And I think it's a way that the rigid patterns, in terms of the brain patterns that are our self-identity, begin to shift. Right. One of the curious things about lens is memories coming back from, usually they're from head injuries, but memories coming back from that as you kind of go through the process. And what happens is, I mean, I've experienced this personally. When I was first learning about lens, it was in a class when I was in medical school, and what happened was, is we would practice on each other every once in a while. And probably about eight, you know, because I wouldn't get it all the time, because different people would get the treatment. You know, you would be the practitioner sometimes, you'd be the client sometimes. So it wasn't every week that I was getting it, but it was about, you know, kind of halfway through the semester. No, it was at the end of the semester. It was about maybe five, six treatments. They hooked me up, they took it off, they said, anything going on? And I remembered a head injury I'd had when I was either in junior high or high school. And it's funny, because I don't remember when it happened, but I remembered it as though it had happened the day before. I mean, it was that vivid. And after that, all of the fog in my brain was gone. It was just gone. And it was like I had been able to rewind whatever that experience was and let go of it. And it was completely passive, because I had completely forgotten about that incident. So it was kind of an interesting experience in terms of that. But oftentimes people, when they have a recollection of something and they feel it, they feel the emotional experience, they'd let it go. Right. And then they're like, oh, I don't need to hold on to that anymore. And it's just gone. So that's kind of a really interesting piece. So I'm going to take a quick break. And at the second half of the show, we're going to talk about what you can do to kind of help yourself feel better. So stay tuned. Hello, and welcome back to Ask Dr. Gill. And I am your host, Dr. Gill Winkleman. And before we get back into the biology of belief, I want to just remind people that if you have any comments or questions, you can email me at gill@askdrgill.com. I'm happy to answer questions that people send. So please send them in. And definitely check out my website too. And I'll talk at the end of the show about my workshop. So in terms of what you can do about this, oftentimes the body will believe what you rehearse. And so if you start your day feeling resentful or fear or self-critical, that field is going to be entrained into your frequency. But if you rehearse feeling safe, responsible, gratitude, then your field will reorganize. And one of the things that I recommend is keeping a gratitude journal and just writing down 5 to 10 things that you're grateful for every day. Even if it's the fact that you can write down the 5 or 10 things that you're grateful for, right? And because this starts to change the way that your brain is thinking about it. And by the way, it's really important to handwrite this. There's a whole biological reason for that, which has to do with the cerebellum in terms of retraining your brain and in terms of repetition, because it's wiring your emotional response. So get out a pen and paper and write it down. That would be the first thing that you would do, that I would recommend. So let's talk about how healing actually happens. This is energetic. Healing is always energetic first, and the body follows. And by the way, that is true in terms of the other use of energy, which is power. If you don't have enough power in the system, then healing is going to, by necessity, need to be passive. There is not an active capability, because your body, if it doesn't have enough power, it won't be able to transform whatever it is that you're being given to create the healthy state, right? As a quick example, if you're low energy and I give you zinc to take, your body won't know what to do with it. And this has taken me a long time to figure out. And it's something that I'll be talking about more on the show. It's a really interesting piece to health. And so you need a minimum threshold. And if you don't have that, then it's important to begin to build up your reserves in your system. So how healing happens, it requires an awareness of the pattern, and then enough safety to feel what is stuck. If you know, it's hard to discharge anything if you don't feel safe. And this is why I think a gratitude journal is really important, because that begins to build some of that up in your banks, right? Now, is safety a requirement? Not necessarily. I've had patients who've realized that, you know, they've been in dangerous situations, both, you know, financially, but also physically. And they've managed to get enough inertia moving to change and transform their lives and then find safety, right? And sometimes that's what it requires, right? I mean, when I was in medical school, I worked at a clinic that was basically served transient youth. And sometimes the work was helping them get somewhere off the streets, in effect. And once they were able to do that, then they could get into whatever treatment programs they needed to begin and be successful in them, to begin to change their lives. That's an extreme example, but sometimes it's just taking that next step, whatever it is that you need to do. And it's important to recognize that all you can do in life is what's next. We often plan out all of these different things, you know, because that's kind of the way that we're taught to do in school and stuff. Like, you got to plan your essay, you got to do the intro, and then you do paragraph one, and paragraph one needs to transfer to paragraph two. The thing is you still need to do it one step at a time. You need to write, you know, what it is for the first part before you jump to the conclusion, right? Before you jump to the end. I mean, we can get into a debate about this, because some of the teachers I had said, write the conclusion first. But the point is that knowing what the next steps are, that actually can help build safety for you, right? Because you don't have to think that far ahead. And so once you begin to get into that state, that's when you can start discharging the old experience, right? And of course, the support, nutritional, neurological, relational, that's really important too. But for things to heal, the energy must move, and the charge must discharge, and the frequency must stabilize. You want to get to a point where you've unplugged your experience from whatever it is that's draining your energy, in a sense. It's not positive thinking. It's energetic completion. And it's important to recognize that, because we will empower things outside of ourselves, whether it's people, ideas, you know, the government, whatever it is that's oppressing us. We empower those and give them power oftentimes, to the point where our energy is going out to them instead of feeding into ourselves. And you want to get to a place where there's as much energy, you have as much attachment to this lens cap as you do to that experience, right? And you know, if I said, hey, would anyone give me $1 million for this lens cap? You would laugh at me. You would just laugh. And that's the experience you want to have with anything that you have an emotional attachment to, right? So that whatever the fear is, or whatever the charge is around something, there is no charge. You look at it like it's a lens cap. Understanding that your biography isn't just a memory, or if you're holding on to stuff, it becomes the frequency that you're broadcasting, and your body is listening to this. And so the question is not what just happened to you. The question is what is it that you're still rehearsing? And what I'm going to invite you to do is to notice whatever emotional state you might return to, and notice how that keeps you organized. So, and in future episodes, I'll talk about some more of the specifics of this, the frequency of resentment, the, you know, what you are financing energetically. And so that's kind of some of the stuff that I'll be talking about in the next couple of weeks. So on my website, askdrgill.com, askdrgil.com, I am putting up workshops. I will be doing one in a few weeks, live in person in Hawaii. And there'll be information down below if you want to check that out and find out more about it. It's really for the community. So I'm doing it at a local yoga studio. But I will be doing more of these workshops, talking about some of the stuff that I've been talking about on this program, and helping people unwind their concept of themselves and disease, and getting an experience of letting go of things. Because I really think that that's where the healing needs to begin for a lot of people, or end, maybe, depending on where people are, so on their journey. So I hope you've enjoyed this. I look forward to talking to you next time, and you take care.